from local high school sports.
It's good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the athletic director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, man, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
Is right behind the bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader, here live on this wonderful Thursday afternoon at Fashion Furniture for the next 2 hours today as we take you up to 5 o'clock for the Hall of Fame game coming up tonight from Canton, Ohio. The Panthers and the Cardinals set to do battle here on what should be the first night of actual football. And folks, we have football the rest of the year, each week the rest of this year. Rejoice, folks. We're finally out of the long, dark, hot summer, whatever you want to describe it. We are here at Fashion Furniture, live as we always are on these Thursdays, and that is where you're going to have the inventory overstock sell-off, which is still happening here at Fashion Furniture. How about $2 million in inventory that must be sold with savings of up to 50% on clearance, closeouts, factory direct overstocks, and one-of-a-kind items? If you've been waiting for the right time to buy, this is it. Stop by on West El Paso Avenue in Fresno. Nothing like it in all of California. Big thanks to me and Ed's also for providing pizza today. Of course, as always, if you want to come and enjoy some grub and shop some nice furniture, this is the place to be. Fashion Furniture here on West El Paso with some pizza provided by me and Ed's. Big thanks to Tony D for tossing it to us from the previous hour. Tony D show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour. Tony D live from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock. Got my show from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock usually on the weekdays. And then Gonzo show in the morning, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. tomorrow that he's got you for. And then coming up back this Saturday, Palmetto show, the Central Valley Sports Report, back live 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays at First String Sports. If you want to catch any of those programs, ESPN Fresno app is the way to do it. Download it. Home of the Bulldogs, where you can listen to Bulldog action this season. So be sure to get that and lock in on your Bulldogs this year. Also, 1430ESPNFresno.com website where you can get us as well. So all that, live streaming there, live and on demand. You can also follow us on the YouTube page, Facebook, Twitch. We stream there as well. ESPN Fresno is the username. Lee's Air Hotline, how you reach us. Lee's Air Hotline, sponsored by Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. The way to get a hold of us on the program, 559-320-1430. Lee's Air Weather Check, sitting at 104 degrees right now. Could get up to 105. Looks like we'll climb up into 108 potentially on Saturday, 110 on Sunday. It's going to be, some would say, disgusting. We're going to be fine, though. We're going to be fine because it's going to come down on the backside of next week, potentially in the mid-90s by next Friday. So, folks, just grit through it, bear through it. We're going to get all through this all together, folks, as we hit the dog days of August. What do we got on the show today? You're going to be joined by Angie Machado, who is part of Beaver Blitz, which is 24/7 Sports. She's going to join me on the show today to talk Oregon State as a part of our weekly opponent preview. And then we're also going to hear from yesterday's practice, Ryan Wilson, who had a chance to talk about their practice yesterday, get a little more perspective from the safety position and what he is excited for with this Bulldog team. We'll hear from him in hour number two. We're going to do some baseball talk, some college football talk, A little best case, worst case. I'm going to start a new segment here with the NFL. AFC East today. We're going to do the best case and worst case for each team and project who the division predictions will look like. I'm going to make my official AFC East division predictions. It's going to be fun. We've got 2 hours to get through it, get you to the Hall of Fame game, like I said, and can't wait for it. Daniel's here running the live stream. He's hanging with me. Daniel, how are we doing on this Thursday afternoon?
I'm hot, Phil. I'm very hot.
aren't we all? We're going to be dying through it. But
did I see 94, though?
I saw 94 on my phone. But like I said, that's a 10-day, that's an 8-day forecast from now. So
yeah.
I'm not holding my breath. You know what I do? I just say it's 92, and outside it doesn't feel as bad.
Convince yourself.
You gotta get the mental fortitude out there. I could just lie to the people and say it's 90, but I can't. I know I gotta say it's 104. But to me, I try to tell myself 92 is where it's at.
I'm gonna tell myself it's 60 outside, so I start shivering.
There you go. Get a jacket. I've seen Fresno State coaches be wearing those sweatshirts already.
I don't know how they do it.
Exactly. We got, of course, a lot to get into. I wanted to touch on one thing before I get into the meat and the potatoes of the show. And it was announced today that Mike Kruko is going to retire from San Francisco Giants broadcast team after 36 years in the broadcast booth with Dwayne Kuiper as his partner. And I just wanted to acknowledge and just give the kudos that is so deserved to Mike Kruko as an analyst of baseball. He is the voice of my childhood. I'm sure he's the voice for a lot of people who grew up watching Giants baseball in the local area and having the fondness of the pleasure and the just pure joy you get from watching baseball with Mike Kruko on the call. Kruk and Kipe are synonymous with any other baseball tandem of calling sports. They are absolutely the apex number one team, in my opinion. And Giants fans locally here in Fresno and whoever grew up in the Bay Area, when you got an opportunity to sit down and watch a Giants game with Kruk and Kipe on the call, it was nothing like it. And so it is a bittersweet moment to see this retirement announcement, but understandably and much deservedly so, Mike Kruko has put in the work and to deserve this farewell from the Giants' perspective. I know with 2 months to go, it's going to be sad to see sad to see him go. I'm going to cherish all of these games the rest of the way from the Giants' perspective on television. Daniel, I'm sure you've watched Giants games. Kruk and Kipe just feels like it's a different level. It's a different level in watching games with those guys, and I cannot imagine where the Giants would be without them as their broadcast team.
Yeah, they're definitely a more just renowned and, like, known voice. Like, I'm not a Giants fan, obviously. Neither are you. But I've sat down and watched a lot of Giants games just because it was on the TV, and I was like, you know what? I want to watch some baseball. And, like, I think they bring the energy and the passion for the game, which I think is most important in a broadcast, that not a lot of announcers do nowadays. And to see him, you know, want to retire, I think that's a great thing for him. You know, congratulations to him. It is sad to see, but I think that just shows that, you know, he's going out on his when the time is right, while he still loves the game and he still loves what he does. And I think that's what's best.
Yeah, and his health battles have been recognized as well, and his you know, ability to kind of shine through that despite what he has been kind of going through health-wise from the last few years, it's remarkable that he just still finds the joy. And he's just a funny dude, and he has a funny way of watching baseball, a funny way of looking at baseball, and a real knack for finding the joy in the sport that I know a lot of people love to take seriously, but it's just a different atmosphere. It's watching with your uncles. That's what it felt like to me with Kruk and Kipe. And I know the Ford Frick is only awarded to one person in the Hall of Fame each year. I really hope the Hall of Fame decides to put them both in together.
That would be
awesome. Bend the rules, change the rules, and get Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko in the Hall of Fame together. They deserve to go in the Hall of Fame together. And I know Dwayne said he'll do it as long as Mike Kruko does it. I'm not saying he's done. I don't know if he's announced or anything like that. I don't think he has. And we'll see if he can get a few more years out of his career. But just feels like it's going to feel like a hole for a long time with this Giants team, not having Kruk and Kipe together on the air. But from some crazy games, like I think of the Nationals game earlier this year, with some of the crazy stuff they were saying.
I'm not
even going to repeat on air. I don't even know if I can repeat on air. Like I said, it's the crazy uncles that you get out there. And I've been seeing some phenomenal moments all over the social media. It's crazy. And did you know he grew up a Dodger fan?
I did not know that.
He grew up a Dodger fan. And somehow, even a Dodger fan growing up can find and fall in love with the San Francisco Giants. Maybe there is a little healing in the world.
A little bit.
Daniel, we can set aside our differences, and you can find the bigger picture. And, I don't know if I got much more to say. I wish him well. And like I said, probably going to lock in tomorrow and listen to our guy on the Tigers-Giants broadcast. And cherish the time that you have Mike Kruko on the airwaves. So.
No, Phil, maybe this means we can put aside our differences. You can love George Lombard, and I can love anybody in the
world.
Yeah,
you couldn't think of anybody. You couldn't think about it, you son of a gun. I can't get there. Can't get there with you.
Not yet.
Bummer. But thank you and congrats, Mike Kruko, to everything you provided in baseball and beyond. So, all right, where do we go from here, huh? What do we got on the show? Like I said, we got Angie Machado, who's going to join us here in a moment. Do you want to hear what the AD of Purdue said today in his introductory press conference? This one is wild. I got that loaded up as well coming up later in this hour. So, 2-hour show today. Can't wait to dive into it with you. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to have Angie Machado of Beaver Blitz next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. It's another week, and another week we get closer to the Fresno State football season, and we continue our weekly opponent preview here as we hit Oregon State week. That's right, Oregon State game, which is Halloween night, a blackout night. 8 p.m. late kickoff for staying up late on a Halloween. Hopefully we don't get too much of a candy rush from that game, but can't wait for that one. And I'm excited to preview it with our expert of Oregon State today. Angie Machado is joining us on the Lee's Air Hotline here on ESPN Fresno. She's part of the Beaver Blitz, which is part of 24/7 Sports, which you know Jackson Moore does great coverage from the Fresno State side. She does that for the Oregon State side. Angie, good to have you here. I hope you hear me loud and clear. How are we doing on this Thursday?
We are great. Right in the middle, started fall camp, and it's my favorite time of year. Fall camp is just so much fun, so much excitement in the air, and every fan base, I think, has hope. So it's always fun.
I know. We're dealing with bulldog weather down here. That's what they're talking about. We got beaver weather up there going on. How's it up there in Corvallis?
It's beautiful, like temperature-wise. You're in the high 80s, low 90s, but there's so many fires up eastern Oregon and Washington. So it's been really hazy, smoky, bad air quality. But they're getting it done. They're able to practice outside. So it's all good.
Well, maybe the outlook doesn't need to be as hazy as the sky right now for Oregon State, which, of course, we are looking forward to our matchup on Halloween night in Fresno. Beavers' first return to Fresno since that 2022 game where you got us by a field goal in that game. not a lot of history, but I would say some real big history between Fresno State and Oregon State. Only six games in the history of this series.
I was down there in 2001. Yeah, 2001. Bulldog Stadium. Yeah, when Oregon State was Sports Illustrated's number one team in the country preseason and came in and got whooped by the Bulldogs.
Right. So what can you say about this kind of series, and now it's going to be normalized through the Pac-12 with the new formation of the conference? What excites you about having the Bulldogs and Oregon State be conference rivals starting this year?
Yeah, I just think there is that. I mean, it's not a deep history, but there is a history there, you know, with Oregon State and Fresno, you know, back in the days of, you know, Pat Hill and Dennis Erickson and Mike Riley. There, you know, there's been some good history there. And so, you know, Fresno State has had some amazing teams over the years. Oregon State has had some good teams over the years. So I like the regionality. You know, I think that's one thing that we're losing in college football right now with this whole, you know, mix up of all the conferences, is there's some benefit to having teams that are all, you know, West Coast teams. And you have that, you know, that like-mindedness, the regionality, and people can get to games easily. You know, your fan base can travel, and I just like it. I like it overall, and I'm excited about, you know, especially, you know, Fresno State, Boise State, San Diego State. I think there's some really good matchups that have potential to become really good rivalries in the years ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, right, is that we get a shot at everybody every year at least once, right, with this new form Pac-12. And I know, of course, you've covered Oregon State through the old version of the Pac-12, of course, through the transition and kind of being on that island with Washington State for a little bit. What has been the reaction from Oregon State fans and maybe people who've been covering Oregon State about just how this new Pac-12 has come together over the last couple of years and now seeing it for real as we build it this season?
Yeah, I think for Beaver, Oregon State fans, Washington State fans, you know, the past couple of years has been tough. It's a tough pill to swallow, getting left behind when you had a great conference. And so there's that little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Both programs, I think, have a chip on their shoulder. I think now that it's finally here and there is a new conference, there's maybe that, okay, we can look ahead. You know, there's still, like I said, there's still some animosity toward the way everything shook out, but there is looking ahead with a fan base, at least, you know, saying, okay, well, this is the new reality and, you know, make the best of it.
Certainly. And they look to make the best of it under a new head coach, right? Jamarcus Shepherd takes over as the coach for Oregon State. And what was your impression of him so far and what you've seen from camp? And he came from Alabama, right, where I think he was under a former Fresno State, DeBoer, right? So there's a little connective tissue there.
Yeah, so he was with Kalen DeBoer at Washington and went with him then to Bama. Jamarcus Shepherd brings an energy that this is my 21st fall camp covering Oregon State. You know, I've been there through Riley, Gary Anderson, Jonathan Smith, and Trent Bray. And so it's a new energy. And what I say, it's funny. I mean, here's Jamarcus Shepherd. He spent 37 minutes talking with the media yesterday on day one.
Wow.
But I think we could take Smith and Trent Bray and combine them and like their whole fall camps for their tenure. They didn't talk to the media that much. So, there's an emphasis on telling the story of Oregon State, building a foundation, just the energy. It's been very energetic, a lot of fun. I mean, these coaches, you can tell they love what they do, watching them on the field, coach. There's an energy. So I think that's the only way to describe it, is an energy and an enthusiasm. You know, Jamarcus Shepherd, first time. This is a first-time head coach. He has a first-time offensive coordinator in Mitch Dahlin, who came with him from Alabama. He was a quarterback coach at Bama, but a West Coast kid. He's an Oregon kid, grew up in Redmond, Oregon. So it's, you know, a couple newcomers, but the energy and the reliance on analytics has been big. You know, they're really diving into analytics and trying to build a foundation. You know, and Jamarcus talked to us yesterday, Coach Shepherd, about just building a foundation and from, you know, just how you treat, you know, how you do. I think he had a great, you know, it was how you do anything is how you do everything. And that's kind of what he's been preaching to these kids, whether that's practice field, whether that's, you know, tucking your shirt in and looking presentable to, you know, being polite to the, you know, all the support staff around, you know, the football facility. So, yeah, it's a whole concept, a whole culture change. But, you know, from an outside media perspective, it's refreshing to see.
Certainly, and of course, the need to turn the page from a season ago. I'm sure a lot of folks at Oregon State are just wanting to get going to 2026 in the hopes of seeing some improvement. I do want to just ask about last year's game, because that was the first year with Entz. You get another look at this kind of version of Fresno State. I think a lot was said about that game based off of a snapping position outside of anything else from that Oregon State-Fresno State game. I know it was a special teams nightmare for the Beavers. But outside of that, what stood out about how that game played out and what it could tell you about the game coming up this year?
Yeah, I mean, the special teams, that was kind of the first glimpse that it was a disaster, because then the rest of the season it was a continued disaster. I don't think you can read a lot into that game last year, because so much has changed with the transfer portal. I mean, this roster is 2/3 different than what, you would have saw last year. It's an entirely new coaching staff. So I don't think you can read into anything that happened last year, because the players that were in that game are no longer in Corvallis. They've all moved on. So it's a total new look Beaver team. And I suspect, Fresno State has a lot of new look players as well. So there is a quarterback. Malik Murphy is back, and we'll see. He's in a quarterback battle right now with a couple newcomers. So Coach Shepherd is not tipping his hand on that. In fact, he's not tipping his hand on depth chart either. In fact, it's the first time Phil Steele has not received a 2-deep. Jamarcus Shepherd declined to offer Phil Steele a 2-deep. So that's where we're at in the world of college football. And it's going to be really interesting to see, who trots out there at quarterback. It could be a familiar face for Fresno State, but it could be a brand newcomer in Brady Jones or Braden Atkinson.
Well, and maybe that's what I was pushing at a little bit on the Malik Murphy side of things, because it is the name I recognized from a year ago. And I'm wondering if you've just noticed a little bit of a difference from last year to this year, if you've gotten a chance to hear from him at fall camp, and if he is being a guy. I know that Fresno State's got its own quarterback competition right now, so maybe we're both looking in the mirror in that position. But what about him kind of stands out for you of what he could potentially still be for the Oregon State Beavers?
Yeah, you look at Malik, he's 6'6". I mean, he has the strongest arm of any quarterback, I've ever seen. Super strong arm. Yeah, I think last year, I mean, he's a great quarterback. He won a lot of games at Duke, was a highly, highly rated prep quarterback coming out of California. I think the biggest thing for him last year with Oregon State was, with the collapse and everything that happened, he had no help in the O-line. His team kind of just quit on him. He lost his confidence, his mojo. So watching him get some confidence back, it's been huge. And it's going to come down to consistency. If he can be the most consistent player in camp, then, sky's the limit for him. Like I said, all the talent in the world, huge arm. It's just a matter of making that connection with his receivers, getting down, the new Oregon State system, which is a full timing-based system, and like I said, having the confidence, not only in his line, but in himself to, go out there and make the throws that we all know he can make.
You mentioned the transfer portal. You're mentioning receivers. I see some guys that come from bigger programs. Like Oregon State attacks the transfer portal considerably this offseason. What names is there anything that surprised you what they addressed in the transfer portal? What stood out most for you in the way they addressed the transfer portal?
Yeah, they did go heavy in for the wide receivers. Oregon State has, had some really good wide receivers over the years. I would say the past several years they've struggled to get a receiver that can actually, take the top end off the defense. I mean, they have guys that shifty fast guys, but they don't have a big receiver that usually can really go head to head with it with a DB. So they addressed that in some ways. Bubba Hampton came from Bama. They went and got Aaron Butler from Texas. He's a smaller wide receiver, but speed is the biggest thing they've got. Just today we spoke to offensive coordinator Mitch Dolan, and he talked about the speed in that room, and they're not running 40s as much anymore. It's all they're wearing those catapult systems, and he said that the guys are running. A couple of them have been hitting 22 miles an hour consistently, so they're flying. They're flying, and so you have speed. But where Oregon State, I think, is going to be a little different look this year is they have a really, really strong tight end room, and that's going to be, I think, the difference maker, because you have the wide receivers that have the speed, but then you also have some big tight ends that can make that have soft hands and can catch. So, you know, if you're going to put a safety on, you know, 180-pound safety on a 240-pound tight end, that tight end's typically going to win that battle.
What about on the defensive side? I see there's a real veteran nature to this defensive side from the coaching position. Mike McIntyre is your defensive coordinator this year. He's got a real pedigree as a head coach throughout college. What is going to be the identity of this defense for Oregon State this year?
They want to be fast. They want to swarm to the ball, and they want to hit hard. You know, they want to make an impact when they hit. So that linebacker group is going to be really important for Oregon State. Led by Dylan Lane, a transfer from Idaho. He knows the system. Co-defensive coordinator Cord Shaw brought him, Dennison brought him in to, you know, that spot. But that middle linebacker room is stacked for Oregon State, legit two deep, four guys that could start, you know, interchangeably. So love that room, but they're going to be fast and they're going to hit hard. So that's going to be the identity of this defense.
Yeah, that's like, you know, getting that big first punch and then suddenly you just want to make them think about you a little bit, right?
Exactly. You know, like Aiden Sullivan is a guy that he just hits hard. I see this defense, you know, Trent Bray had an aggressive defense. I see this, you know, long term. I mean, this is, you know, you guys are going to know Dennis Erickson. I mean, those defenses had swagger, and that's what this defense is gunning for. It's going to be kind of that old school smash mouth. Hit you hard and make you maybe, you know, that quarterback's going to be hearing footsteps, you know, after getting hit a couple times.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Oregon State's, you know, schedule this year, and especially at the beginning, this teams get really tested right at the top, maybe more than any other team in the Pac-12. When you go to Houston and then you bring in Texas Tech, and we all know what offseason Texas Tech had this year. They come to Corvallis. Just to name a few of those games, of course, Montana and UTEP on top of that Pac-12 schedule. What do you make of what Oregon State's going to be facing at the top and what this coach can learn about this team at the top here?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be able to hide anything. You know, it's not going to be a vanilla playbook, you know, the first couple of weeks to try to hide things. You're going to have to bring it all. You know, on the road at Houston, it's a 9 a.m. kickoff Pacific time, so 11 central. It's going to be humid, warm. So he'll get to see kind of the makeup, I think, of his team on the road. You always get to see your team on the road maybe a little clearer than you might at home because they have to kind of rally together. So you get to see that. And then Texas Tech comes to town, and that's going to be a giant test. School won't be in session yet for Oregon State. So hopefully they figure out a way to get a bunch of students in there just to make it loud and rowdy. But, you know, obviously – the Red Raiders are going to be a true test. I like it in a way. You know, a lot of coaches like to start with easier games and so they can kind of keep their playbook under wraps. I think you just go and you throw whatever you need to at them to win or keep it competitive. I think you're going to learn a lot about the makeup and the quit. You know, does this team have quit in them? And then Montana's not going to be a slouch either, though. You know, so it's a rough start, but start fast and make. You know, get some big wins early or play competitive, and I think that will do a lot for their psyche.
What's a successful season, looking at the schedule and everything like that, what's a successful season for you for this season of Oregon State football?
It's crazy. You know, you talk to fans. I mean, this was a team last year that it struggled mightily. So I think Vegas had the odds at three and a half wins. Mm-hmm. Beaver fans, if you talk to the diehards on Beaver Blitz, they're going to say, oh, this team has to win six games. I think for Coach Shepherd to be, for this to look successful for him, you got to be in that 3 or 4 win category. But I think, you know, they obviously have higher aspirations. This is a team they think can win some games, compete. But I think it comes down to competing and, like I said, not giving up. Last year we saw the team give up. The fight kind of left the room. So this is a team that they're going to have to try to keep engaged, new coaching staff, new league, new everything. But, you know, I do think I saw a media poll that came out, kind of a haphazard Pac-12 media poll, had Oregon State 8 out of 8. That might be, you know, that might be a little bulletin board material there, but, you know, it's not easy when you have Fresno State, Boise State. I think Texas State's going to be a really strong offensive team. There's some really solid programs in there, Washington State. So I think Oregon State, if they can finish in that middle middle of the pack. I think you have to look at that as a successful first year under Coach Shepherd.
Well, I look at your road Pac-12 schedule. You get the Boise Blue, you get Fresno State, of course. Colorado State has that new stadium, and then whatever the flex game. What do you guys have as a flex? Just curious. I'm trying to remember whoever that flex is.
It looks like Washington State. I think it would be another matchup with the Cougs. It's kind of where it is right now, but I think they can obviously change that around based on, you know, schedules and records and such. But yeah,
are you going to get used to that flex? I'm just curious what your reaction is to that flex schedule.
I'm old. I've seen a lot. I roll with it. It's fine. I mean, it is what it is. The older I get, the more I know. Why get all mad or worried or upset about things you can't control? So it just is what it is. It might work out great. It might not. But I like that they're being, you know, they're forward thinking and looking for ways to help the conference any way they can. So, you know, if it somehow can help a team get in the talk for the CFP, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. So, Oregon State's road, that's just it. You have to play in Fresno, at Boise, and then, you know, the altitude at Colorado State is just not fun either. So, it's a tough schedule, but it is going to be fun to watch it all shake out. And Halloween down in that's going to be pretty fun.
You got are you going to bring some Halloween candy to Fresno when you come visit?
Have candy with me in the press box. That's like the older I get, the more I'm trying to be better in shape. But, candy kind of, you know, that's kind of my go-to in the press box.
It's going to be a blackout. So I'll take you to it. But it's going to be a blackout, 8 p.m. night game at Fresno State. You were there, 4 years ago? When Oregon State was able to down for the game, the teams played tight the last couple. Couple games. So I could anticipate another tight one if we get a good battle. But I can't wait. Angie, I appreciate you taking some time on the show today and letting some people know about Oregon State, of course. And third trip now down to Fresno? Is that what it's going to be? How many times down in Fresno now for you?
Yeah, because 2001, I worked at the university. I was in the athletic department. So I came down in 2001, and then, it'll be the third trip.
All right. Well, we'll make sure to get you some good tri-tip or something like that when you're down here again.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll get you hooked up. Can't wait. Angie, thanks for taking the time on the show today, and appreciate the coverage.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
All right. Oh, one last thing. What can people find you if they want to read more about you? Where can people find you?
I'm at beaverblitz.com. We're part of 24/7 Sports, and I'm also on Twitter at Angie Machado 1.
Awesome. All right. Well, go give a follow. Get that inside scoop on Oregon State, and then you're all ready to go for Halloween night. Angie, appreciate it as always. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks so much. Talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely. All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Behind the Bench right after this on 1430 ESPN Fresno, home of the Bulldogs and your Central Valley sports leader. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN, Fresno, the Valley's local sports leader. Big thanks to Angie Machado for joining me in the last segment, Beaver Blitz, part of 24/7 Sports. So you follow Jackson Moore. He's got the bark board. That's Angie Machado. He's got the Beaver Blitz for Oregon State. Give her a follow. Give her a look. She's got some good stuff and coverage, and appreciate her insight on Oregon State athletics. Got a little news item here that's come across my timeline. Daniel's here with me. Apparently Lincoln Riley was meeting with the media today as part of the USC's tour of their new facility, but he also announced that first team center Killian O'Connor suffered a season ending injury for the Trojans. Ooh. Big deal or not a big deal for that game week one against Fresno State?
I think very big deal. Anytime you get a big time player like that, you know, hurt, especially against this run game.
Right. First teamer. First-teamer gone, center. We know how bad it is when you lose centers,
mm-hmm.
right? I Like, I don't wish injury or anything like that, but USC is going to have a lot to have to figure out now.
Yeah, that's a big step to fill.
And we're talking about a Fresno State D-line that's been shining the last couple days of camp. They're off today, and they'll be back tomorrow. But all we've heard is awesome stuff from the D-line. And if you don't have a center that can organize that offensive line in that game, I'm perking up a little bit. I'm just saying, I'm perking up a little bit, and you know, if there's a meter that fulfills like the upset possibility, it just ticked in the upset direction.
Odds are slowly rising.
Slowly rising. So that's going to change the game a little bit for USC and for the matter for Fresno State. So we'll see.
We got what, less than a month?
Less than a month. We got 29 days now. 29 days before Fresno State and USC clash at the Coliseum. In unrelated, totally different college news. You have not heard this sound.
I have not.
You have not heard this sound. Purdue announced a new athletic director today. His name escapes me. Tommy McClelland came into his press conference. And, of course, you want to set the tone in your press conferences, of course. And Purdue, we know, it's got some decent athletics, especially in the basketball side of things. You know that. Football, maybe not so much. Well, Purdue had the new athletic director announced today, and I wanted you to hear what he said at his new press conference today. Riley, if you got the sound, let's play it.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Wow.
It could have been worse, and it could but that is as Daniel, your reaction to
coming from a program that hasn't won anything notable in I don't know how long. You know, your football program is in shambles.
Play it again. Play it again. Play it again, Riley. Play it again for us.
Every recruit, every current student athlete will hear this message repeatedly. We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana.
Listen, all right. So our guy, Tommy McClelland, is that his name? Tried to point out that Indiana doesn't win championships in his introductory press conference because, what, Purdue and Indiana, I believe that is the de facto rivalry, the big rival of Purdue?
Yes, that is the big rivalry.
Right? And maybe Tommy McClelland is talking from a basketball sense, because Purdue's a basketball school,
but
and that's his job to promote the basketball program. Because we know Purdue football is a pile of you know what.
But the thing is, even the basketball program constantly chokes. You know, every year it's always Purdue.
Yeah, they won a couple years ago though.
But like, it's like they set their expectations too high, and everybody has those expectations, and they fall short.
Right, I think. Here, let's go through the thought process of Tommy McClelland just now, right?
Okay.
What made him write that down? What made them put that in that speech? We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana. Let's be honest with ourselves. He probably thought, what's our biggest rival? Let me smack talk. And we're a basketball school, so I think he thought in the context of basketball in some capacity, right?
I would hope so. I would really hope.
The problem is what day is it today? What's the date today? August 6th?
Yes.
When does football season start?
In like 2 weeks.
When does basketball season start? Later.
Yeah.
So football's relevant at the moment. He could have picked any other school. Any other school. To say that you don't win championships in football. He could have picked Wisconsin. He could have picked Maryland. Anyone. And yet he picked the one team in his conference who is his rival that actually won a championship.
Let me give you a stat for you.
Hold on. Actually won a championship. And he decides to poke the bear. And by the way, that team you just poked at is the one team you don't want to poke at from according to last year's situation, right? The eyebrow is raised in Indiana right now.
Yeah.
Right? Suddenly Kurt Cignetti puts that on his mind. And November 28th might be the bloodbath of all bloodbaths when those two clash at the end of the season.
It's so bad.
Come on now.
But Hear this out. Indiana holds a massive advantage in the NCAA National Team Championships across all sports.
Yeah.
24-3.
Across all sports.
All sports.
In what was this time period?
This is as recent, I think today. I think someone wrote this today because of what happened.
What?
Yeah. Purdue has three national champions. This is like to this date.
Okay, Indiana is 28 in all sports.
But okay. Indiana is 24.
I swear to God, it was like it had to be a bigger number. But I guess you're right. 24, only 24 for Indiana. They've been around for forever. That's crazy. Is that the biggest gaffe at a press conference we've seen in quite like ever, not since Adam Gase just started staring off in space when he got hired by the Jets? Like he was like, I don't even know.
I think so.
Like. I'm trying to think of worse introductory press conferences. Like, when did a guy totally screw up the introductory press conference and you sat there and like, uh-oh?
I mean, well, it's not necessarily an introductory one, but what's his name? Kyle Whittingham? Dittingham?
For the Michigan?
Where he's talked about how, why do we hate Ohio State so much? Like,
right.
Sorry, bucko, this ain't Utah no more.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. What about Liam Cohen just going Duval? That's one. I mean, it kind of works because he actually won with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So it gets kind of works, and now it's a rallying call. But I'm trying to think who's had worse introductory press conferences than Mr. McClelland over here. So
I can't think of one worse.
How do you rectify that?
Win a championship?
I guess. When's Purdue winning a championship?
At this point, I don't know. Maybe they'll win in, like, equestrian or something.
Purdue is projected to be a 35.5-point underdog against Indiana. Does that go up now?
Probably.
Probably?
Probably.
Okay.
Literally, to me, that's the only thing they have. Like, granted, you know, I don't pay attention to much of the other smaller sports, but.
Yeah. Ay, caramba.
Yeah.
Come on now.
You have to back up your talk now if you're going to say something like that.
Ay, ay, ay. Rest in peace to Tommy McClelland and Purdue Athletics.
They're going to crucify him if they don't win anything this season.
Yeah. And it's Cignetti. It's Cignetti.
That's the one guy you don't want to.
It could be any other coach who would not give a rip, but it's Cignetti. Cignetti keeps the receipts, man.
Yeah.
Cignetti talks about the SEC like we don't take our ball and go home. He knows what they're saying. He's like, we just show up and play, man. That's all we do. I wonder if did Cignetti get asked about it yet? I need to know.
Probably not.
Will he say anything?
He might acknowledge it. I don't think he'll say much because he's the type of guy that will just be like, our players will do the talking for us.
Just said, I win. Google me. That's what he did in his is that the opposite aura?
Yes.
His introductory press conference. Versus our guy, Tommy McClelland's introductory press conference.
That is the complete.
We have now officially hit the threshold. We know where the bottom is, and we know where the top is, and we have now the McClelland-Cignetti line. All right?
All right. this is our median.
McClelland, if you fall in between, are you more Cignetti, or are you going to be more McClelland in your introductory press conference? That is going to be the question. What was Mike McCarthy for Pittsburgh? Where did it land? McClelland or Cignetti?
I think it's like, to be honest, right in the middle. He didn't really say
it's
much.
It's got to lean one way or the other. You got to put it.
I think he's a bit more Cignetti.
He was a bit more. You want it to be a bit more Cignetti.
Yeah.
Come on now. Didn't he cry?
Yeah.
We are here to win championships. If you don't want to win championships, go to Indiana. The one time you're trying to pump up your fan base and you just don't even get the fact right. It's not even like it's not even an argument you got wrong. It is straight fact. Insane. Insane. Aye, aye, aye. I don't know what to go from here. I don't know. I'm like, my face is like melting from just the pure sheer stupidity of that statement. But anyways. Dan, are you ready to talk some AFC East, best case, worst case?
I am.
Coming up?
I think I got some hot takes.
So this is going to be a new thing we're going to do, and I'm going to start it in the next segment here. I've got at 8 points during the season, we're going to take this all the way up to the night before opening night. We're going to have 8 times during my show where we're going to talk about each division. We're going to make division predictions. We're going to go best case, worst case for each team. And we're going to pick an MVP candidate from each team.
Okay.
No matter how ridiculous it could be. Let's just make the case for a player who can be the MVP candidate of each team. I think this will be a fun exercise, to say the least. So we're going to do the AFC East next, of course. And then, of course, we're going to hear from Ryan Wilson as well from Fresno State Football and his sound, of course, afterwards. Daniel's going to get out of here, and we're going to get you set for Hall of Fame game. Are you ready for Carson Beck and Kenny Pickett?
I guess.
Do you lock in on the Hall of Fame game?
You know, I do this occasionally. I'll be at work.
If you were given no work tonight, would you be locking in?
Yes, because it's football.
Yes, because it's football.
Even if I got to watch that quarterback that put me through things.
There's a graphic that Pitt Football put out. Just said Kenny Pickett's face, and it just says Hall of Fame. And in the tiniest letters possible, we'll start the Hall of Fame game.
they knew what they were doing.
Every word except for Hall of Fame was as tiny of a font as it could be. Anyways, font makers knew what they were doing. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got best case, worst case coming up next. Debut new segment here, previewing football. Stay with us. Behind the Bench returns on 1430 ESPN Fresno, home of the Bulldogs and your Central Valley sports leader.
From local high school sports,
it's good to be joined by our Student Athlete of the Week. Anthony, how's it feel to be a Student Athlete of the Week?
Feels good, man.
To your Fresno State Bulldogs.
Pleasure to always have Coach Entz in the building here. And Coach, how are you doing on this Tuesday night?
Doing good. Doing really good.
When the Athletic Director of Fresno State drops in here at ESPN Fresno. Garrett, it's good to have you in.
You know, we're just grinding every day trying to get better. But, man, beautiful weather right now.
And voices from the pros.
On ESPN Fresno with Sean Merriman, Charger linebacker. Great.
Man, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Q Myers joining me now. He's with the Raiders, of course.
Man, I love Fresno. Yeah. I really do, man.
Rick Neuheisel here with us on ESPN Fresno.
It is a treat to be on ESPN Fresno.
This is your home for all things sports. Hosted by Phil Bonatti. Breaking it down, calling it like it is, and taking you behind the game. This is Behind the Bench on ESPN Fresno.
That is right. Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, the Valley's local sports heat leader. Here, home of the Bulldogs, live at Fashion Furniture. And here's why you don't wait, folks. During the Fashion Furniture inventory overstock sell-off, every closeout and one-of-a-kind item is available while supplies last. When they're gone, they're gone. There are no restocks. Save up to 50% plus special financing, which is available if you're looking for incredible value. Fashion Furniture is the place to be today. Nothing like it in all of California. One more hour before we send it off to the Hall of Fame game. But if you're looking for some place to eat tonight, how about Richard's Prime Rib and Seafood, which is open Wednesday through Friday? Perfect spot for date night, celebrations, or a classic steakhouse experience. Serving that legendary prime rib, hand-cut steaks, and fresh seafood. It's a Fresno tradition. Serving Fresno for generations. Richard's Prime Rib and Seafood, open Wednesday through Friday. Dinner is ready for you, folks. All right, hour number two of two, and we're going to do a new segment, which I have for the football preview side of things. We've been doing the de facto power rankings at the start of the year. Of course, maybe we'll do an end of the year or a mid-year check-in, maybe after week 8 or week 9. But I want to do a best case, worst case scenario, and we're going to do this by division. So you'll hear this pop up on the show occasionally. This is the first one, and we're going to take it all the way to the night before the season opener between the Patriots and Seahawks on a Wednesday night in September. So I got Daniel here with me, so he is graciously going to preview the AFC East with me here as the best case, worst case. Are you ready to go team by team and give us the best case, worst case? Are you ready for this, Daniel?
I am ready.
All right. And we begin with the team that won the division last year. Who was that, Daniel? Who won the division last year?
I wonder who.
A team that ended up going to the Super Bowl. New England Patriots at plus 120 to win the division, 16-1 to win the Super Bowl this year, which is tied for fifth of the shortest odds in the National Football League. ESPN Analytics give them a 31% chance to win the division. 14-3 last year. They add A.J. Brown. Romeo Doubs is back on this team. Elijah Vera Tucker on the offensive line. Stephon Diggs, bye-bye. Clavon Chaisson, bye-bye. Jack Gibbons, see you later. But, and Garrett Bradbury gone as well. But, all in all, feels like they filled the holes they did coming in. So, Daniel, best-case scenario for the Patriots. If I had to give a best-case scenario, I think it's a virtual repeat of what they did last year, except better offensive numbers, same defensive production. Drake May takes another step forward as a quarterback and doesn't have that slump at the end of the year. Instead, rises stronger, and we see a little bit more of a stamp of approval of what he is as a quarterback in the National Football League. To me, a 13-4 record is in a division win over this division, to me, feels like the best-case scenario for the Patriots. Worst-case scenario feels like a middling season, 10-7, slumps off, could make the playoffs or just miss out on a wild card. I don't see how this team finishes below 500 this year. So my best case, 13-4. My worst case, 10-7. What do you got, Daniel, as best case, worst case for the Patriots?
So my best case was going to be a 14-3 season with, you know, I could see this team going all the way this year. You know, towards the end, right, they were the best offense in the league, mm-hmm. I believe. And just, I think, you know, Drake May is already, he's taken that step forward. I think he's going to continue to elevate his success. And, you know, I think A.J. Brown is a better target piece for him. And that should help him be a lot better. I just think that this team is very, very much promising. I don't think there's any doubts in this team. So I think a 14-3 season is
best case.
Best case. And worst case, I'm thinking like about the same with you, a 10-7. You know, I think they make the wild card but lose. But I think that would take a lot of like injury bugs and things like that. So
their offensive line was a little sketchy, but I think Will Campbell was dealing with an injury coming back, and he was trying to make something happen. They get Caleb Lomu as their big offensive line addition. Feels like the offensive line, when healthy, feels like it can be a strong unit for them. Like I said, and of course, MVP for this team feels like a Drake May. Another candidacy. He got so close to it last year. I do believe Matthew Stafford deserved to win that MVP as much as I love Drake May. But he certainly can elevate that. And if he adds a few more touchdowns to his ledger and maintains what he can do, it's going to be a Drake May MVP campaign for sure.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of preaching that last year with the Drake May for MVP. I think, you know, like you said, add a couple touchdowns. I think, you know, he keeps his role going, doesn't get hurt at all. I think there is very much a shot that that is a reality with the Drake May MVP.
Let's go to the next team then. Best case, worst case for the Buffalo Bills, who are the favorite to win this division, according to DraftKings Sportsbook, of course, subject to change. Minus 125, 68% chance of ESPN Analytics says to win the division. 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, second best odds in the National Football League behind the Seattle Seahawks. So 12-5 last year. Would say another run-of-the-mill Buffalo Bills season for them. A disappointing exit in the divisional round to the Denver Broncos. Really sloppy offensive game for them despite scoring 30. Terrible turnovers and terrible aspects of when that game happened. Got their coach fired, Joe Brady in. You know, there is a lot I think I don't like about this team when it comes to what they've lost. Especially on the defensive side, a lot of changing pieces on that defensive side that has me concerned. Now, best case scenario for the Bills tells me they get back into a Josh Allen is just an absolute dynamic freak no matter who is on his offensive side, and he gets back to limiting the mistakes he made 2 years ago that got him the MVP candidacy and win 2 years ago. It can be 13-4 for me again. For Buffalo in some capacity, and they go beat New England a couple times, take that division. To me, that's the best case scenario. DJ Moore is back into his DJ Moore prolific side of things, and maybe he is the answer to what Josh Allen has been looking for. Khalil Shakur becomes a bigger part, and then James Cook just stays healthy and is awesome. you know, because I do think he is the second best offensive player on this team, James Cook for me. And the defense new pieces fit in better, and that's how I see it from the Buffalo side. 13-4. On the other aspect, feels like another middling year and could even be a little bit worse than last year. And so I go worst case, 10-7, kind of in the same realm of the Patriots. I feel like they're pretty similar, although the Patriots are just a little bit of leg up for me talent-wise. So to me, I think worst case scenario, 10-7, fighting for a wild card, not quite as talented as last year, a little more just mistakes on the defensive side. That's what I got. Best case, 13-4 for the Bills. Worst case, there I'll say 9-8. I think it could be a 9-8 team if things really go poorly for this team.
Yeah, you know, I was gonna say 12-5. I think that's about where the Bills are this year. I think, I don't know. I'm very conflicted with this Bills team. You know, I want to like them, but you know they always beat my team up, so I don't like them. But there's so much talent on this team. Josh Allen really, you know, he has that talent. He just isn't able to, I guess, succumb to the pressure sometimes of what it really is. And I think if he's able, like you said, if he's able to limit those mistakes, I could see another MVP season out of him, you know, leading this team to 12-5. But I think just because I haven't seen the experience crashing out in the AFC Championship, but I think that would be like the best case in the ceiling for this team, a AFC Championship game, 12-5 season, and with the division.
Dare I say best case, I should add it. I think they can win a Super Bowl if everything goes correctly for
okay.
them.
Yeah.
Same with the Patriots, of course. They can win a Super Bowl this year, one of the teams. I will not say this for every team. Every team can't win the Super Bowl, but I'll give them our best case scenario. MVP from this this team, Josh Allen, right? He once again can be an MVP candidate for this team, and I don't know if I can pick another guy unless – You want to zag with James Cook if you have the psychotic good James Cook season? I think you can't. You can't pick other than Josh Allen on this team.
I was gonna take Josh Allen, but I wanted to take a breakout star on this one.
Okay,
Mac Delaney.
Oh, all right. You're just playing to the fans.
Yeah.
All right. So just simmer down here. Simmer down. We hope he does well. New York Jets, best case, worst case for the New York Jets here in the AFC East. Jets finished 3-14, one of the worst teams in football last year. 1% chance to win the division, according to ESPN Analytics. I would like to know that possibility. It's like Doctor Strange holding up the one finger at the end of Avengers Infinity War, right? And it's just like there's only one scenario that the Jets can win, and it just has to be catastrophic injury from the Bills and the Patriots. But what's your best case scenario for the Jets? You see a better offense. You see Geno Smith get back to maybe his Seahawk way a little bit, and a complimentary team where Breece Hall is actually back to his ability and Garrett Wilson is back to his ability a little bit. Kenyon Sadiq suddenly becomes this awesome, legit tight end for the Jets in some capacity. And they have a little bit of a better situation when it comes to their offensive line and weapons. So, healthy aspects there. Am I relying on Geno Smith to be good? He just has to be, good enough. So, if I'm going to go best case scenario for the Jets, I can get to 9-8. I can get to 9-8. What if David Bailey is just this awesome, awesome linebacker, right? They drafted him in that position. Maybe Minka Fitzpatrick turns back the clock a little bit, right? You like him.
Yeah.
DeMario Davis, no slouch at being a linebacker in some good teams. So Tavondre Sweat they've added. Maybe they get better on the defensive line and the ability to put pressure on some offenses. So maybe Aaron Glenn isn't a terrible coach. And suddenly 9-8 is achievable for this Lions team. We do remember Dan Campbell was terrible at the beginning. We do forget that for a lot of people. But I would like people to remember that Dan Campbell wasn't the greatest coach at the beginning. So 9-8, best case scenario for the Jets. Worst case scenario, which feels more increasingly like they repeat everything that what happened last year. They once again can't force turnovers. One of the worst teams at really just flipping field and making teams sweat in some aspects on that defensive side, despite all of their additions. Injury situations happen. Geno Smith, absolutely terrible once again, and they have no ability to make things happen at the quarterback position. 3-14. is where I got him at worst case scenario.
You know, I agree on the 9-8 aspect. I think that's very achievable for this team considering the moves they made. I think on paper, you know, 9-8 is achievable, but that's if everything goes right, like we've said. Now, however, I think there's a possibility where this team doesn't win a game at all and just goes 0-17. But that would – that takes a lot more, you know, injuries, releases, just players just not playing to the ability they should. And I think that's more of a possibility than a 9-8. But I don't know. I don't think the Geno Smith experiment is going to work. And I think Cade Klubnik is playing by the end of the season.
Cade Klubnik. Good God. Who is our MVP on this New York Jets team? Are we ready to cook? I'll go Breece Hall. You know, I got to pick somebody.
I was going to say Garrett Wilson.
No, I can't do Garrett Wilson. Geno's still bad, but Breece Hall runs for like 1,900 yards or something crazy like that.
True.
Which I know won't happen because the Jets will be so one-dimensional. But if the Jets end up being awesome for some reason, then I guess I'll give the benefit to Breece Hall in some capacity.
Yeah.
He would be the Jets MVP if to me, he'd be the most valuable player for the Jets this season. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that is most fair to say.
So, all right, let's go to the Dolphins last in the best case, worst case for the Dolphins. And the Dolphins are kind of openly saying, we'll see what happens with this team and what happens. They are in a transition period, fired Mike McDaniel last year. They were 7-10 and missed the playoffs, and Tua was absolutely awful, and he is no longer a Dolphin. It's Malik Willis who steps in. Josh Uche coming in as well. Tutu Atwell, we know him fondly. What's the best case for the Dolphins this year? Well, Malik Willis is actually a guy. That's something, right? If you end up finding a starting quarterback that actually works for you, and he shows you like a plus ability to find ways to win some games. Remember that Brian Flores Dolphins team that won a few more games than they probably should have when they were getting ready to draft Tua?
Yeah.
It was the year before Tua, and I can't remember who was the Dolphins. Maybe it was Fitzy.
I think it was Fitzy.
Max Fitzpatrick was the kind of making the magic happen. They beat the Patriots at the end of that
19
year. And really, really pretty much ended everything with Tom Brady there. Maybe they're that version, I think. I think that's where I go. I don't know where they finished. I think they were 6-10. So maybe like a 6-11 or a 7-10 for me of the Dolphins if we get back to where they were. And suddenly Malik Willis is actually kind of a scary dude to watch. They don't have the talent really, in my opinion, to realistically compete for a playoff spot. But I think that's my ceiling for them. That's my best case scenario. Malik Willis shows a lot. Guys stay healthy. Devon Achane is an awesome piece for them and continues to shine and showcase as a running back and helps Malik Willis through quarterbacking for the Dolphins. So I'll go 7-10, best case scenario for the Dolphins. Worst case scenario, Malik Willis is an absolute nightmare. This defense is an absolute nightmare. This offensive line is an absolute nightmare and might be one of the worst teams that plays in Miami. And there's been some bad teams. I remember a one-loss Miami Dolphin team, I think, back in 07. So, like a 2-15 Dolphin season, if we're really going to be running roughshod. No good feelings here, and we're tanking for the next first pick.
Yeah, to be honest, I'd like to hope that the Dolphins could, you know, at least compete, you know, compete for a wild card to that last day. Maybe not get it, but I could see this team as an 8-9 or a 9-8 team in some aspects. I think Malik Willis can shine in this offense. He doesn't have the pieces, which is unfortunate for him because, you know, I was kind of wanting the Steelers to come after him because I was like, you know, he's shining a bit. You know, he's a backup, but, you know, like, he's still good. And now I would think it could work out, and it would be a 9-8 season, like just missing out on the wild card. And my worst case would probably be 2-15, 3-14.
Yeah,
that would be though, like injuries, nothing's working out. You have like you're hitting your quarterbacks at this point, like it's a bullpen.
Dare I say 0-17?
I don't see it with.
It's not in play here.
I don't see it with Miami.
It's not in play. Maybe it's in play for another team. We
get
to. MVP of this play, I think there's no doubt Devon Achane is the guy on this team that can make the motor go. He got paid the money he wanted to get paid there. At least he's fun to watch.
He is fun to watch. He makes the Dolphins not scary to watch.
Are you scared to draft him in fantasy?
I am.
Devon Achane?
I'm a little scared too.
Yeah? Okay. That's kind of where I'm at too. It's kind of where I'm at. I don't know. I just don't like having any Patriot rivals on my fantasy team. It just makes me not want to. Not want to root for him.
I'm more scared because I don't know if he'll be good in the offense or not this year.
Get bottled up a little bit.
You know, you get that money, now all of a sudden you're not playing as good.
Right, exactly. Because the money weighs you down a little bit. All right, well, there you go. Best case, worst case. We went through the AFC East. Let's get our division prediction here. What is my official prediction for the AFC East? I'm not trying to be a homer here. I do think the Patriots are going to win this division this year. Just sense a little bit more talent, a little more button-up nature to this team than what's going on. Consistency with the head coach, and they got a returning head coach in this division. All the other teams other than the Jets, which we know, whatever that is, the other two teams aren't dealing with that, are dealing with new coaches, right? So I like New England to win this division. I like the Bills to be a wild card out of this division in some capacity. And I think I have the Jets and Dolphins, once again, missing the playoffs. I have Jets third, Dolphins four in my playoff predictions. Kind of chalky. But, you know, according to the statistics and according to the odds, Bills are the lead vote-getter there. So I'm going flip it. I'm going to say Patriots, Bills, Jets, Dolphins.
You know, I like the Patriots at the one, but just because you picked them, I'm going to take the Bills taking this division, I think.
Yeah.
I think the Patriots will go through just a little slump. Bills are going to take advantage. And the Bills will win this division, but I still think it's a Bills winning. Patriots second in the wild card. But I think I have the Dolphins.
All right. Good call. That is best case, worst case, and we'll get through it with every division. I think I have slated next time we do this, it's going to be on Monday when we go through the AFC North. So we'll see what that will look like. All right. Daniel, you're probably going to take off here.
Yep.
And we'll finish the rest of the show. We're going to hear from Ryan Wilson next. Fresno State football conversation on 1430 ESPN Fresno, home of the Bulldogs and your Central Valley sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno, Valley's local sports leader. Pleased to have this little bit of time now to talk about Fresno State football. Of course, they're off today, and Coach Entz, of course, he talked about being a little bit smarter and how they manage the off days and when to load and when to unload for these players as far as the workout is concerned. So today, no practice. Of course, they're going to have practice tomorrow. And so this is one of those times where we reach in the archive a little bit and hear from players from yesterday. And I didn't get a chance to play some Ryan Wilson sound from day two. Ryan Wilson, of course, the safety for Fresno State, who – gets another chance at a final year. You're going to hear him talk about, of course, the time and all the things he was thinking about potentially after football. And now he's come to the realization he's got another year of football. So he's very excited for that. And we're very excited to have Ryan Wilson back on this team. So I want to hear from him, and we'll get a reaction from me after we hear from Ryan Wilson on Fresno State. So without further ado, Riley, hit the sound. Ryan, you know, day two. Now we're officially less than a month away from USC. Of course, you guys are focusing on yourselves right now at the moment. How have you assessed the performance of this group so far through 2 days?
Yeah, I mean, we're killing it out here. I mean, it's great to be back, everyone communicating, doing their job. It's great to see everyone playing good. And today we had a great day, and it's just so good to see everyone back in action, honestly. You know, I was out for a little while, missed spring ball, so it's especially good to be back with all my guys playing in some pads now.
Yeah, so for you, right, having to wait a little bit to actually get out there and in the action probably killed you a little bit. You
yeah.
Know, like you said, uh-huh. How does it, you know, from your perspective, to be able to actually get some work in and feel comfortable getting ready for the season year specifically?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to take it day by day, being hurt. Just come out with I'm going to get something out of today, 1% better each day, and just had to take that going into fall camp. Sitting through the meetings, learning from Sim, learning from everyone, teaching the younger guys, that actually helps me because I have to relearn it and try to teach those guys. So just doing all that, feels good to be back.
Seems like a lot of positivity from the first
first 2 days of what we've seen so far. What does that do when you feel like things are really clicking at the beginning of camp, and what does that do for the later part of fall?
I mean, it just keeps flowing. When you start out hot, you just keep going, and we already set a standard day one. That's going to be our worst practice we'll have in fall camp. It's just, that's the baseline. We're just going to go up from here, and we have a lot of hardworking guys out here, and if everyone just keeps buying into the process every day, we're going to do some really good things on the field this season.
Heard a lot of good plays yesterday from the DB group. From Sims' perspective, what were you seeing so far from this group from your side?
Yeah, nickels, corners, safeties communicating. That's honestly why we're thriving so good. Same with the backers, guys up front killing it. I mean, communication is what's really setting us apart this year. I feel like everyone's kind of really dialed into their doing their 1/11th, you know, doing their job. And I think just the communication is what's setting this group apart right now.
Especially with new guys who are potentially starting that communication, how does that come so quickly for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to learn a new language out here, and that's part of me and Sim and Ethan and Creo. It's all, we got to teach everyone. So it's getting everyone on the same page, and if they don't know it, come to the locker room and we'll help teach you.
Ryan, what'd you miss spring with? What was it?
I had my labrum and rotator cuff done.
Okay. Of surgery on it?
Yeah.
From last year?
Yep.
Did it happen in a game, or was it?
Yeah, it happened in a game, one of the games, but it's a lingering thing, so perfect now, good to go, gotcha. Ready to roll.
Cool. You're an awesome story, right? You know, I've talked to you a little bit about it, and just kind of coming in here, you know, not playing football, right, in junior college, I think
yeah.
It was. And now, here you are, you know, like a major contributor for this team. Like, how excited are you? You know, when you think back on where you've been, to have this opportunity.
Shoot, it feels great, man. You know, I never thought I'd really be here, so it's truly a blessing. I just take every day, and I'm just really grateful. I know a lot of people would die to be in my position, and I'm just truly so blessed. You know, I just put my head down and worked hard, and I'm trying to teach the other guys on the team that, hey, you buy into something, good things are gonna happen. And, you know, I never thought I'd really be here, and some of those guys maybe don't think they'll be starting or that, and look at me or any of the other guys and be like, whoa, how'd you get there? But just put your head down and grind, and good things are gonna happen. And that's what we're just trying to teach the young guys. Buy in.
Some people might think, oh my gosh, practicing in 100 degree heat.
Bulldog weather.
But, you know, when you, maybe someone like yourself, right? Like, I get the sense that you appreciate every one of these opportunities, even if it's just a practice in August.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this bulldog weather. No one else is practicing in this heat right now. Feels good to be out here. Get used to it, but I love it, you know? No one comes out here and does what we do, so that's a kind of big sense of pride feeling, honestly. We come out here and we work our tails off every day, so it's good to be in the heat.
Secondary lost a few pieces, right? Important pieces there. Tell me why that group is going to be fine, and why it might even, you know, be a unit that this team relies heavily upon.
Yeah, we have 9 guys that can go out there and start on any program, I feel like. So everyone's stepping up, you know. We lost Brock and JD last year, so just guys have to step up, you know. People want to be a part of this defense, you know. It's, you see what we're doing out there. People want to play, so that's a pretty cool feeling when you have three deep, you know. Everyone wants to be out there and playing, so everyone's truly just buying in and wants to get out there and get some reps and do the best for their teammates, because this is truly a brotherhood out here. Like, I'd take a bullet for any of those guys on this team, so I'll go out there and work my tail off all day for those guys.
USC is a little over 4 weeks away. What do you guys need to do over these next 4 weeks to be able to compete with them?
Yeah, we just need to hone in on the details, keep communicating, learn better as a whole unit, and get the younger guys on board too, and just keep getting depth in our defensive philosophy, you know. I think if we just communicate and play how we do, good things will happen for us. So just keep communicating, get everyone on board.
Seems like Powell brings a different dimension. RJ's healthy. How do you see those two? Maybe.
Yeah, we got some characters. I mean, I love those guys. It's good to have them on the team. I'm happy they're here. So, yeah, they're going to have some big roles in our defense this year. So I'm excited to see how they roll. First couple days, already doing a great job and taking that leadership role. And I'm happy for them. So I'm excited that we all get a chance to go out there and play.
Could you expand maybe on what some of those characters are?
You'll know. TP's the loudest guy in the room. I mean, and RJ's probably the quietest, but he's funny. I mean, those guys, they make every day better, you know. They bring the juice, they bring the energy, and it's good to have them in our program, honestly.
As someone who kind of climbed from there to the starting lineup last year, how do you see the competition? You're talking three deep, maybe some of those second and third team guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll all get a chance to go out there and show what we got. I mean, the best man's going to go out there and get the most snaps, obviously. But, yeah, I think anyone can go out there. I mean, as long as everyone stays healthy, I mean, we'll have a great defense. But we have guys that are ready to step up right when you need them. So that's a good thing to have in a defense. You need that.
And you talked about how fortunate you are to be in this position. On senior day, we didn't think we'd see you in this position. Can you give a little bit of a behind the scenes what life was
yeah.
like from November to February or so?
It's good to be back. I mean, yeah, I know I went into the last season. thinking it was going to be my last one. And, you know, getting the opportunity to come back, it's just truly a blessing. You know, I really wasn't ready to give up the game. And I had something didn't sit right in my heart. And I'm so just thankful to be here and be a part of this program again. We have something special here. It's a different type of culture, and I'm so blessed to be a part of it.
And you walked last year, right?
I did walk on senior day because I wasn't too sure if I'd be able to get a year back or any of that. So, yeah, I walked, but we'll see if I walk again this year. I don't know. second time around.
Two senior days.
Yeah, maybe. Right? Yeah, I'll see if I can get the whole family out there for this one again.
Real quick before we let you go, Ryan, just curious, academically, like, where are you at? What are you studying? I mean, have you graduated?
Yeah.
Give
me
an update on that.
Yeah, I got my degree and I got my master's in education, and I'm just taking some program classes now just to keep it going and stay in school and be on the field. And yeah, got my master's and yeah.
Want to be a teacher maybe?
We'll think about it. My mother was a teacher, so it's definitely in the back pocket, but you can use that to teach anything in life. You can take that anywhere you want. So see what happens with it.
We'll see what happens with it for sure with Ryan. And what a good insight from a guy who didn't know he was going to have another season with this team, right? You mentioned that at the tail end. I wrote down some things and observations that I got from him and what he said. But, you know, really thought last season was his last one. And so to get the newfound life in football, because – as we know, guys like Ryan can sometimes miss out on the opportunity to play any longer because of, you know, the nature of football and the way it goes. But wasn't ready to give it up. And something about fate told him that he had another opportunity, and here it was. Got granted the new year of eligibility, and he's ready to be a awesome piece for this Bulldog team. The one thing that stood out to me of Ryan Wilson more than anything else as a safety from his position is that the dude comes hard at people. He brings it so hard when it comes to hitting guys across the middle. So Ryan Wilson for sure is going to be a big-time hitter across the middle of the field. He's going to make guys think about him when it comes to that position. Didn't know he was dealing with an injury, of course, when he was coming into this next season, and talked about the torn labrum situation. Says he's feeling really good and perfectly healthy now, and that's great. We love the recovery of that, and that's the aspect that you want to see coming from a successful program is the guy's ability to turn around and be successful in their recovery from injury. So I got to imagine for a guy like that who was itching, who was told he was ready to get back into football, then had to sit down to the injury. Now he's here. And so the last couple days were his first time to really practice as a player. That's got to feel really relieving from his perspective too. So yeah, you can feel the excitement from Ryan Wilson there. Already setting the standard in day one, of course, saying that day one is your worst practice and it's only going to get better here. And if you feel good about that practice day one, then you got to feel really good about the work you're putting on there. The question for this team is, what's going to look like tomorrow? You get your first day off between the two good days of work. Are you going to progress even further? Are you going to find something else that's going to happen? Is it going to be a little bit of a different story? Sometimes adversity in fall camp can help people, find a new path to make themselves better. So looking forward to that. Talked about communication setting us apart right now. And if you're a secondary that can communicate well at the beginning of the year and the expectation of what's going to be coming at you from an offensive standpoint, there's got to be a lot of confidence in that group if they feel like nobody is missing a step when it comes to their assignment and where they need to be and what kind of coverages are needed in that backside. Coach Benedetto seems to have made things really easy and simple for these guys to understand, or these guys are certainly grabbing on to the concepts to make that backside of that defense the strong point on that defense, which you love to hear it, right? The complimentary things that are being said about this unit, along with what this unit is saying complimentary about the defensive line, right? So there's so much on both sides of this defense right now that feel really confident with each other. So it's a symbiotic relationship, and it's a positive feedback loop, right? It's just going to continue to build and build and build and build into something that is only going to get better. The only question is, can they stay healthy? As long as everyone is healthy, we're going to have a great defense, said Ryan Wilson in that soundbite. Think that's fair to say? I think that is certainly fair to say. And so the question is, how do these guys maintain, take care of themselves, understand what the rigors of the season will bring? And the hope is, by game one and by game 12, we're talking about a lot of the same dudes playing a lot of different games. The nature of football is, we do know injuries happen. And it's new. We do know that you have to overcome adversity at some aspects, and that's going to be a fascinating development of what this team is going to look like when and if they have to deal with those injury situations. But regardless, I love listening to Ryan Wilson talk there. We had him on for the media day coverage as well, and he certainly has a lot of exciting energy to him, just very happy to be here, and of course, I think he's going to be a good character for Fresno State this season if you're going to be paying attention. I'm telling you, watch Ryan Wilson over the middle. If you start seeing a ball thrown over the middle, he's got some speed at him. You want to be watching what, number 37, I think he is? You want to be watching him each Saturday, week in and week out. All right. Let's take a break. Let's wrap up the show and send you off to Canton, Ohio next on 1430 ESPN Fresno, home of the Bulldogs and your Central Valley sports leader. All right, welcome back to Behind the Bench here on 1430 ESPN Fresno. I'm going to stand for this last segment because, you know, You gotta stretch the legs at some point. Big thanks to Riley for producing the show today. Riley, do you want to say hi to the folks for the one time today? Big thank you.
Hey, Phil. How you doing? We've got some audience here.
Is that Carter?
Yeah.
Carter going to officially make her debut on my show? Actually, I think I've had Carter one time before. I think I've actually had Carter one time before.
She's hitting Joe with a cardboard stick right now.
Oh, he probably deserves it. He probably deserves it in some capacity, right?
Oh, Joe deserves it.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine what he's done.
They can't hear you because you're in the headphones.
Oh, okay. So I can smack talk whatever I want and they can't hear what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Okay. Joe, your Mariners stink. And Carter, your Niners are all hurt.
Hey, no, I'm a Niners fan. You can't say that.
Carter now wants to know what I said.
Oh, yeah, they're like, what is he saying about us?
Don't worry about it. Hey, by the way, a reminder before we wrap up, don't miss your chance to save during the Fashion Furniture Owner Inventory Overstock Sell-Off. More than $2 million in inventory must be sold with savings of up to 50% throughout the store. Special financing available. But remember, when they're gone, they're gone. So visit Fashion Furniture on West El Paso Avenue in Fresno or learn more at fashionfurnitureco.com. Nothing like it in all of California. All right. What we got on the schedule? Well, coming up after us here at 5 o'clock, NFL football. That's right. Football is back. Preseason football, of course. Hall of Fame game coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Panthers and Cardinals. Just a real scintillating matchup there. But that's what they're giving us. Panthers and Cardinals coming up in a matter of minutes. That's going to start at 5 o'clock from Canton, Ohio. And then coming up tomorrow, Gonzo Show, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. He'll wrap you up on the weekend, getting you set for the weekend on his Friday mornings. You'll hear maybe some good interviews, some good stuff, some good conversations, some good opinion from him. Of course, tomorrow as well. Tony D Show, Sportsline Bulldog Hour, with Tony D going from 2 to 3 p.m. You've got my show from 3 to 6 p.m. We go full 3 hours tomorrow. Get you set for the weekend, of course, and very excited to bring it to you. Of course, Giants baseball tomorrow on 1430. That'll be Giants and Tigers from San Francisco. Giants have the Tigers, then the Astros, then the Rockies in a 9-game homestand. So this weekend, midweek, and then next weekend as well, all Giants home baseball before they got to go to Cleveland. I think that's the next one. Cleveland and Boston, road trip for them after that. So some interesting teams the Giants have in August. We also have A's baseball over on 790. The A's were in Cincinnati. I think they played bright and early at like 9 in the morning today. Ended up falling in a sweep. I can't believe A's are 45 and 70. Yikes. A's will be heading to Boston to take on the red-hot Red Sox, who are in a 3-game series in Boston. 4:10 tomorrow for them. A's and Red Sox on 790. You got a 1:10 first pitch on Saturday, and then you got a 10:35 on Sunday on 790. A reminder on Saturday, and we're going to have him in tomorrow on my show, Paul Metters. His show returns First String Sports live from 10 a.m. to noon on the weekdays. You can listen to Paul Metters 10 a.m. to noon Saturday. He is back and ready to preview the high school football season and beyond, bringing you Season 6 of Central Valley Sports Report. So excited to talk to him about that and hear his first edition of a show. I'm sure we'll get a preview of who's coming on Saturday when he comes on my show tomorrow. So we'll talk to him. Of course, Giants baseball, like I said, 4 o'clock on Saturday against the Tigers, and then 1 o'clock on Sunday against the Tigers. We'll be back Monday with all of our shows. Gonzo's going to have his show in the morning. Tony Nee, his show in the mid-afternoon, and I'll lock you in for the final 3 hours of the afternoon before we send it off to the evening side as well. All right. Daily prediction. Daily prediction, of course, brought to you by Game Day Men's Health. If you're not feeling like yourself, or the weight loss journey is a little bit harder than you've really experienced there, don't chalk it up to just age or anything like that. It could be low testosterone. So Game Day Men's Health specializes in that. And if you head to a clinic, you can get a free testosterone assessment with my friends at Game Day Men's Health. So you can book there, GameDayMen'sHealth.com/Fresno or Visalia. Get a free testosterone assessment and see if something is working against you there in your body. So our daily prediction brought to you by Game Day Men's Health is who's going to win tonight between the Panthers and the Cardinals? Well, I can't believe we have a betting line on this. Carolina, a -3.5-point favorite in this game. So, you know, you take it or lose it. Kenny Pickett versus Carson Beck. Let me tell you, we've seen a lot of horrific, horrific footage from Arizona in the preseason here. And a lot of smoke around what Carson Beck is as a quarterback potentially, and or lack thereof of what he could be. So with all that analysis and all of that smoke saying Arizona is going to be a dumpster fire this preseason, I believe Arizona will win tonight, because that is how the preseason works in some capacity. So I'm giving Arizona a victory at the Hall of Fame game. Why don't we just do like 17-9 or something like that? Why not? Why not? And I do enjoy that they get to pick the two teams that are maybe most represented from the Hall of Fame class of 2026. And we do have a Panther and we do have a Cardinal represented in this game. So that's probably why they're playing. And another reminder, here's what we got. Class of 2026, who are going to be enshrined on Saturday in the Hall of Fame. I believe that's noon Eastern, so 9 a.m. Pacific if you're wanting to lock in on the Hall of Fame inductee ceremony. Drew Brees, quarterback, of course. We know him from his Charger days. And, of course, most famously, a Super Bowl victory with the New Orleans Saints. what can you say about him? The dude was a stats machine, made it happen from the quarterback position. He was awesome. Very excited to see Drew Brees in there. Larry Fitzgerald, I maintain maybe the, you know, him and Moss, like, top two for me of wide receiver. Megatron, too. Man, it was a tough, tough era for wide receivers. You have to respect the consistency Larry Fitz provided despite what Arizona gave him at the quarterback position and beyond on an offensive category. Luke Kuechly, career cut well too short, especially with the concussions, but the greatness not overstated. People knew how good he was, leading a Panthers team to some awesome records, great defense. I mean, really locking in with Ron Rivera as a top-end linebacker in the National Football League. Kind of has the same career arc as Hall of Famer Patrick Willis, if you want to say it that way, with the 49ers. Luke Kuechly, very exciting to see him be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And me personally, I'm very excited to see Adam Vinatieri make it into the Hall of Fame as well. A hero of my childhood, of course, and of my adulthood almost even. one of the greatest kickers. I'm just saying it right now, the greatest kicker of all time. I do not care if you try to stump or stand for Morton Anderson and all the other potential kickers out there. I'm sorry. Adam Vinatieri, greatest kicker of all time, clutchest kicker of all time. You're never going to get anybody better. Shout out to the pride of the South Dakota Jackrabbits. And finally, Roger Craig, of course, and Roger Craig of the 49ers, long overdue, well-deserved inductee into this NFL Hall of Fame. Know him out of the University of Nebraska, of course, and part of those great, great Niner teams, part of Bill Walsh's West Coast offense, and kind of one of the last guys that needed to be inducted into there from a standpoint of being an awesome contributor for that 49ers team of the 80s. Roger Craig, what, 1,500 yards in 1988 when they ended up winning over Cincinnati in the Super Bowl back then. One season later, Roger Craig, fun fact, became the first running back in Niner team history to rush for over 1,000 yards three times. Sooner rather than later, we're going to see another Niner great in the Hall of Fame, Mr. Frank Gore, maybe as well. All right, Hall of Fame game coming up next. Till then, we'll see you at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Thanks for listening, folks. Have a great night.